Welcome, everybody, to the NPC's Weekly News Roundup. For the week of August 4th, 2023, here is what's making headlines. Switch 2 may be out in 2024. Rat-Tat-Tan beats Kickstarter goal and is coming to consoles. Twitch bans CSGO skin gambling sponsorships. Microsoft now selling replacement parts for controllers. And Hasbro says Activision Lost Transformers games retracts soon after. My name is Travis Sherman, and as always, for the NPC's Weekly News Roundup, I am joined by none other than Kyle Inman. Kyle, hello.
Hello, sir. How are you this evening?
I am at the point now of almost wanting to go and purchase Baldur's Gate 3 because I watched Giant Bomb do their quick look at it. I've seen a bunch of other things. I'm not enamored with the bear fornication or anything like that, but it's just like I'm not a part of a D&D group anymore, so it'd be cool to have a game, I guess, where I could do that, where I don't have to leave home and I can be a recluse and hide here in my basement and play D&D alone.
I've heard this one is supposed to be turn-based, however.
Yes, it is. It is. There's dice rolls on things. There's, of course, all of your stats have to line up the way that you would expect them to based on your different like character classes and such. There is interaction on different things as well too that will, you know, net you positives or negatives based on where your stats are actually leveled out at too and your skills are at. It's basically just D&D. But the cool part though is that the Baldur's Gate 3 devs came out and said there are no microtransactions. There's nothing else for you to buy except this game. Go have fun.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and the fact that that's such
that's
a rarity.
Even more reason. Yeah, that's even more reason to just buy it. I mean, not only that, it's been, I know it's gotten at least one, maybe two perfect scores on it. So,
yeah, I've been seeing that across the board right now, too. And that's why I'm really tempted to pick it up. I've got so many games I still have yet to play or even beat. And it's like, what's one other game to add to this list? Well, I also turn and look at my Gundam models I still need to finish building too. All this Gunpla right. Screaming at me to be done. But, I don't know. It's just the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It most certainly is.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead and transition here into probably the biggest beast out of the news stories this week, and that is regarding the additional discussion here now of the Switch 2. That's right. We are basically hearing that the Switch 2 dev units are now starting to go out to developers, and it looks like we will probably be seeing the next generation console, the successor to the Switch, in the second half of 2024. So, Kyle, we've had discussions on the Switch 2, the Switch Pro, the next hardware here from Nintendo, and we've done this so many times over, but this one seems to have a little bit more meat to it than previous discussions have had or previous news stories have had. This seems to have a little bit more behind it. It seems like what we're getting information, at least on right now, is that they've got the Switch release or this next generation console pushed out until the second half of 2024 because they're trying to make sure they have the supply constraints all fixed and sorted out. That like they can have plenty of stock built up and we don't run into this issue like Microsoft and Sony did with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles. So they're working on that. It also seems like they're not doing an OLED screen or anything on this base model of this new hardware. It's going to be an LCD model or LCD screen like we saw on the first generation of Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the storage is going to potentially double in size internally from 32 gigs to 64 gigs. And then besides that, of course, a lot of effort seems to be towards how Nintendo is going to actually take their current user base, their player base, and move them over to a new console without alienating them because of all the investment that people have made so far into Switch titles and the other backwards compatibility stuff that goes with, say, like Nintendo Switch Online. That's what, at least they've made comments about that in their financial reports and stuff, to say that we're trying to build out this online ecosystem so that way it's easier to handle player accounts. But the biggest problem is that you have a lot of people who still play, who really do play games in a physical sense, not just a digital download, but have a physical cartridge. The next console has to support that in some capacity, or, you know, or some sort of external attachment or something like that that doesn't detract from the ability to play these games that they've amassed. So, I mean, Kyle, I mean, there's more meat to this, Kyle. There's more meat behind all this, and it sounds like we could very well be close to a new Switch. I mean, what's your take on that now?
I think the timeline actually tracks at this point for where Nintendo's at in their lifespan. I mean, I thought maybe, you know, with some of the games that we saw coming out, that it was kind of Nintendo's last, you know, big releases that we might be potentially seeing from the console. But I mean, we're continuing to see large release after large release, which, I mean, does say that maybe they could be leading into this new console with a backwards compatibility of some sort, especially in the physical manner. And I see that with Nintendo at this point, because they do see the value in it. But not only that, I mean, at this point, we're 8 years out. Really and truly, the Xbox and the PS4, they lasted pretty much 8 years before we started hearing we're 7 years from the release of the original Switch. So in 8 years, put it about where the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series came out from the Xbox One. So, I mean, we're seeing a little bit longer lifespans out of the console than we were generally. But not only that, there's so many rumors that are just seeming to hold true. I mean, the quantities that are being amassed from the distributors, that you can actually track the logs of LCDs that are being purchased by Nintendo, and just some of the rumors that are showing up in the industry. I think that we will be seeing potentially an announcement of the console release this holiday season for like a pre-holiday season or holiday season release of next year.
I'm anticipating about the same as well. If not, I think when the Switch was originally announced, when they first dropped the trailer and started sharing details on it, I think it was sometime in February or March of 2017. So I imagine it's going to be roughly around the same time, February, March of next year. And if it is, that's going to be awesome. I think the biggest problem, though, more than anything, is still going to be access to those titles that you've already purchased and such, though. Like, this new hardware is going to have to drop, and it's going to have to basically provide the same level of coverage that I think the Switch is. Like, the regular Switch will probably end up going away, and the OLED model will probably end up getting a discount down to a more affordable price. And then the Switch 2, Switch Pro, whatever this next console is going to be called, is going to have that price point that we expect to see, though. So, you know, they're not going to alienate players when it comes to, like, the actual price of the console, but it's going to be the support for those titles. But the other thing, though, at least in the good news part that I've understood from reading, not only what we're talking about, you know, we're referencing this article here from Polygon, but the other thing I had been reading elsewhere is that Nintendo likes to do these console releases, like the Switch was, in the midst of the mid-cycle of the competition, which Microsoft and Sony tend to release their consoles around the same time. And so Nintendo likes to be sort of in that middle area to catch the customers who may be, I guess, overstimulated by what Sony and Microsoft have to offer. You know, it's like, what can we do to bring these players back to us? It's like, well, let's release something in between when they release things. And this ends up probably being the best thing for them to do, because not only is the Switch itself showing its age, but I think the legal battle between Microsoft and Sony with the Activision Blizzard acquisition has kind of just rubbed some people the wrong way, and they're trying to find another platform to play on that's also not, you know, like PC, for example. You know, it's like, give me something else that isn't embroiled in all this chaos right now. And that's probably where they're going to end up catching up to. But I guess the other part is going to be the performance of the hardware is what else is going to bring people in. Like, are we still going to have the same choppiness that we see with, like, Tears of the Kingdom when you have too many items put together that are all merged with Ultra Hand or something else, you know, just, I don't know.
Yeah, and see, that's one of the things that worries me when you say 64 gig. I think this console, we're probably going to be seeing something closer to a 500 gig, maybe even a terabyte model, just because memory is actually at a point where it is getting cheaper to produce smaller memory units that are less expensive. Not only that, I mean, you'll always have the expansion of the micro SD slot. There is maybe the potential that we could get higher speed lanes to the micro SD slot or multiple SD card slots for expansion. So you're not limited to just, you know, swapping out these 500 gig or terabyte cards all the time to play these massive games that you're going to be required to download. And, you know, maybe we'll actually see Nintendo utilize if they're going to be using the same card format, if it's not a dual port system or, you know, some sort of system that uses a different style of chip that is also compatible with the same current cartridge. Maybe we'll, if they continue to use the same cartridge, we'll actually see them use some of those 32 gig cartridges and make them more available so people don't have to get on and download half the game when they buy, you know, a game brand new out of the store. So often, you know, I'd say 3/4 of the way towards where we're at now, you were seeing a lot of games that were releasing on these like 8 gig cards, but then they had like 10 gigs of download, or, you know, and it was, they weren't even utilizing the full 8 gigs or whatever. So it doesn't make sense. They could have been buying the more expensive cards, but then their profit margins go down. Nintendo could have been making the cards more available. There's a lot to be had there. I don't know, but I think there's something to be said not only just about the memory for storage, but also the VRAM for the system, like you were saying. Stuff like in Tears of the Kingdom, you do see slowdowns if there's too much on the screen or too much being connected at once, and it doesn't necessarily work. So I think that's partially on, you know, the video processing in the console, but hopefully we see more RAM and VRAM out of the system, as well as just general system memory.
Well, one thing I'm hoping, at least with the Switch 2, is I like the idea of expanded capability when it comes to, say, potentially like external storage. Like, because the Switch already uses micro SD cards, that maybe there's enough of a change in the technology there that whatever they could use for expandable media, whether it is micro SD card, maybe there's something else behind the scenes that will make that stuff run faster. So if you go to expand your storage, it's not going to break the bank to do it, but you're going to have speedy storage where if you install something onto that micro SD card, you're going to be able to boot it up and start running with it faster. You know, I think that's going to be a key thing. We saw that a lot with like the expandable storage on the PlayStation 5 and the expandable storage on the Xbox Series line. You know, players want things to load up fast. They want to be able to get into their game quick. Anything that's going to slow that down is going to be a detriment to the hardware manufacturer. So,
well, and
I hope they fix it.
You know, maybe it's something that we will see. I mean, already we have players that install the M.2 SSDs into their PlayStation 5s. Now, granted, it's probably not your general Nintendo Switch user, because there is going to be a large majority of Switch users that are children. But who's to say that Nintendo couldn't partner with Western Digital or Sabrent or, you know, any hard drive company and make some sort of modular unit that could just plop in the back of the system? I mean, the GameCube had ports that you just unclipped spots in the bottom, and granted they were just plastic doors, but we could see that on a new unit as well, and maybe it be part of the dock if it's still, you know, a Switch style unit where we are able to take it on the go and take and dock it into the main unit. So maybe you'll only have access to those games on the library at home, but it's another option.
Yeah, absolutely. It is something else there for sure. In the meantime, though, of course, where this all sits at, of course, it's obviously Nintendo's going to stay tight-lipped on all of this. We're not going to hear anything probably till, like you said, Kyle, towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, on an official announcement about what this console is going to be. And until that time, we just have to take this information as we see it, you know, grain of salt. But if this is the case and dev kits are starting to get out there, that means we're going to start hearing a lot more pretty quick, because we'll see at least some of those like AA studios or even indie studios that will be working on stuff for the new version of the hardware and will, you know, start making comments on things saying, yeah, we're building on this hardware for the next gen console, and this is what we're seeing. You know, like they may not know the underlying specs, but they might be able to say, like, you know, compared to us running this on a Switch, we're seeing like a 40% improvement, you know, or something like that, at least be able to provide some tangible metrics. But in the meantime, at least until that comes out, we can share it with you. We must carry on. So let's move on here. And I think Kyle and I are both really excited about this one. This is talking about the spiritual successor to Patapon, which was a very, very popular title back in the PSP days. And God, I miss Patapon. The developers behind it are creating a new game called Rattatan, and this is going to be following in line with what Patapon was. It's going to be a rhythm-style game that has you basically pushing your face buttons there to create different musical combinations in line with what you'd expect to see on the screen, you know, a la, like, DDR or Parappa the Rappa or Guitar Hero, and that, you know, matching those up. I mean, if you know what Patapon looks like, this is basically the same thing, just obviously much newer.
The screenshot that they show on the resource that you provided for us, it looks semi chaotic in comparison to Patapon, in all honesty.
They have more compute budget to be able to make it look like this, so that's why, compared to, you know, PSP hardware. So the cool part about this, though, is that originally when it was announced, the goal was for it to be just released, I believe, specifically on PC, and that was it. There was no talk about any work with Sony to bring this to any of their stuff. However, because they went and put this on Kickstarter, they actually passed their goal on there. They have surpassed it and continue to surpass it, and have indicated that they will be releasing it on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series consoles, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. So
that's awesome.
I mean, that's pretty slick, Kyle. I mean, yeah. You and I have already talked about this. I think we're going to end up purchasing this game anyway and going nuts with it, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a day one buy, no matter what.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the, I'm over on the Kickstarter right now looking at this. So their goal was, because they're a Japanese company, everything was in yen. Their goal was originally $140,307. They are currently sitting at $703,894 in funding. They are over, what is that? That's 600%, 700% right there of what they were expecting. And
well,
of
and
course
there's 27 days left to back it still. So there's still people that could potentially back it.
Yeah, and so they've got stretch goals on here. They've got tons of different things in here for their stretch goals, and you could still go and put money into it, like for you, the base pledge that you can make to get the digital edition of the game would be 6,800 yen, which is around $48. That gets you the digital edition, beta access, and then Fever Backer Discord role, which means that if you're a part of their Discord server, you will have that role tied to your username, and that currently has 3,500 backers, but that's one you can go and do as well. And then it goes up from there. If you're a person who likes physical editions, the cost of it kind of roughly lines up with physical games around $60. And then, yeah, you get the physical edition, beta access, and then the Discord role. And it just keeps going up from there until, honestly, if you wanted to, which I don't think they have available anymore, people have already done it, is for $4,560 is this premium audiophile 2 reward, and it is becoming an in-game NPC, and it comes with like all these other things too. Yeah, and it's been redeemed by 2 people. That's pretty crazy to see. But
I mean, it's really cool that it has such a fan base though too. I mean, this was a game that, especially where we're from, and I know in my school, very few people had PSPs, and the groups that I hung out with, there were a few people that did, but this wasn't a very well-known game. It wasn't played by too many people that I knew personally. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I was a part of a group that we had a good mix of like PSPs and Nintendo DSs, and we would all be nice enough to, you know, trade off with each other. So I was fortunate enough to at least have both. So I could, you know, at one point in time play like Mario Kart DS with people while someone else would borrow my PSP and go and play Patapon. And then, switch roles in that though too. So yeah, I was part of a group that would do stuff like that. So I kind of had the best of both worlds that way. But yeah, we would definitely play it all together, you know, even though it wasn't multiplayer, we'd be able to sit around and just play it and just see how we all did. So it definitely has that level of it with me. I will say though that I'm really excited for what this could potentially be though, because, you know, just looking at everything, it does my heart happy, but at the same time, because it's not just these little black and white characters that are walking around doing all these different things, like, you know, like going to war and basically using their army to take down enemies using rhythm and such, it's all these other different like little characters now, and different little and it's not even just small little ones now. It's you've got stuff that's so unique. Like you've got one here that's called Nyandola, which is an assassin that likes to toy with the enemy using fast swipes and hip dance moves. Great at sneaking up on and obliterating targets. It's desperate to nibble on the fish-like chorus. So it's crazy. So
yeah,
you know, it's just some of these different things here. That's all. But I'm excited to see this. So, and excited to go and pick it up. I think I'm going to have to put some money down on this to be able to get at least the digital edition.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I probably will have to put at least enough money to get the digital edition and the beta access, just cause I'm so excited about it. And I know I said that last time we spoke about it, but, especially now that I've seen how well it's done on the Kickstarter, I'm definitely in, because it's going to happen. It's got to happen at this point. They've got so much money behind it.
Yeah. No kidding. This is pretty big here itself. And I think for like what this game is though, is it's going to be a big one for everybody. So I think even people who never played Patapon in the past are going to enjoy this one now.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So the funding itself, again, like we mentioned earlier, will stop on September 1st at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. So if you haven't gone and pledged yet, you've got at least a couple more weeks, but the sooner you can do it, the better. And then after that, they don't have any sort of release date set up on here that indicates when the game will necessarily drop. They've probably got some more work to do anyway. But in the meantime, we will keep an eye out and see exactly when this does become available. So yeehaw.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And now, of course, we carry on to the next thing, which happens to be about Counter-Strike Go. So even though we are in the midst of IEM Cologne, one of the actual final majors, like big tournament to use CSGO, because we've got CS2 coming down the line here very soon, Twitch has decided to go ahead and hop ship and start banning any of the Twitch streamers that use CSGO skin gambling sponsorships. So they've gone on to say, per this article from Dextero, it says, Twitch, the Amazon-owned streaming platform, now explicitly prohibits sponsorship and promotion of CSGO skin gambling sites, a rule that, if enforced thoroughly, will impact the sponsorship of countless CSGO streamers. So it's pretty big, especially like to, I guess, see exactly how many people this is going to affect, because there are quite a few streamers that are using this to make extra money too.
Right.
But the problem though is that it is definitely an addiction for sure. And what doesn't help, of course, is that you've got these really big streamers, even not on Twitch, but on YouTube, for example, like Tim the Tapman and Dr. Disrespect, who will spend whole streams opening cases, spending thousands of dollars to get, you know, your rare weapons such as knives or gloves. You know, they'll get other weapons, of course, though, too, as they open the cases. But obviously, they've got their target in mind. And so that's a bigger problem. And of course, it feeds on to all these other things because it is gambling. You're not guaranteed something amazing. You're not guaranteed anything amazing. You're guaranteed, like, you know, getting something, but it's only gonna be pennies on the dollar potentially. And so by limiting some of that, especially in the streaming section, that's going to be hopefully one way that Twitch can help to eliminate some of this gambling problem that people come across as not seeing it as like being actively promoted the way it has been, at least as of late.
Yeah, I'm surprised this is only coming to light now, especially when you think about the fact that we had talked previously about CS GO skins being so similar to like NFTs and whatnot, and how it compared to like loot boxes on say old school Overwatch.
Yeah,
And just the level of, I guess, the cost of even opening a crate, and beyond that, like what the potential is that you could get, because the pool is so much larger. It's crazy, and it's just insane that it's now only coming to light that, you know, this has been a thing in Counter-Strike for so long.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I've got to admit, at least, you know, it's not necessarily the worst, but at the same time, it is also the most lucrative. The amount of CSGO skins that are up for sale right now anyway on the marketplace, the skins that are sitting in people's libraries that they haven't even, like, put up yet for sale and that, too, that could net them quite a bit of money, at least in their Steam wallet, because you obviously can't cash out these skins or anything. You know, obviously it's like, it's been the most lucrative, it's been the most popular, but it's at a point now where things have to get reined in. It's CSGO continues to be popular. CS2 is still very, is going to be very popular as well, and has been with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the limited release. And with the current situation we've been in the last couple of years, you know, a lot of people have become social recluses and will end up making these massive gambles, these massive bets. I mean, we've seen it with people in the stock market too. Like, for example, the GameStop stock, where people ended up going and getting like a second mortgage on their home and ended up losing everything because they didn't catch the GameStop stock when they, you know, when it was on its way up, they caught it right before it started going down and lost a lot of money. And you could kind of run into the same thing here, I guess. I mean, if the money already exists in your Steam wallet and you're kind of going and buying stuff and trading off and you're basically just earning money on it without actually putting any money in after, like, necessarily just one time, it's kind of up there in the air on where you want to approach that. But the gambling part more so is like putting your skins on the line just makes people want to go and spend way more money. And sure, it's more money in Valve's pocket because they get a cut of all of that. But it's gonna end up being something that ends up getting regulated even further, I bet, as time goes on.
Yeah,
I really think it's gonna be big.
I could see this getting very scary very fast for Valve. So if they don't rein it in, I could see someone doing it for them sooner than later, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Valve has already done this though and already banned the gambling part. They really made sure to set up their in their terms of service or in their code of conduct for Steam in regards to gambling, that it's like there are, you know, there are things there basically to prohibit the gambling itself. So anyone caught violating a policy will have their account banned. So it doesn't mean that those gambling sites are going away, but you're definitely closer to being caught, getting caught now, though, too, in making this happen. So Valve already has something in place, and they're trying to do their thing to stop that from happening. And this was back in May when they updated that code of conduct. So it's only been a couple months, which is probably for the better now that Twitch is finally getting on board. We just need YouTube and all the other streaming platforms to make sure that this stuff can get reined in.
Right.
Yeah. Now, instead of some crazy news about CSGO skins, let's talk about Microsoft is now selling replacement parts for their controllers. So they announced on, what day was this? This was Tuesday, that you can now purchase Xbox Elite Series 2 and wireless controller parts directly from Microsoft. So I'm here in their storefront, and I'm taking a look at exactly what they have available. So if I'm looking at, say, the Elite Wireless Controller Series 2 repair parts, they have the input PC board. They have, or PCB, excuse me. They have replacement buttons, both black and white ones. They have the replacement PCBA and motor assembly for the Elite controller. And then they also have the top case for the black and white, too, even though those two are currently listed as being out of stock. And then it's very similar on the standard wireless controller, too. But this is good news. This is very good news.
Yeah, but this should have been around for a long time ago. I'll be honest. I think it was probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah, about 3 years ago now, at least. Maybe even 4 years. That I had to replace the bumpers on my Elite controller. And it's a first-gen controller. And granted, I've always had issues since day one with the D-pad. And it's only gotten progressively worse over time. This is something that should have been around since day one. And it makes me so irritated that it's only now just being put out there. Especially since I had to get third-party buttons that they don't feel the same, but I mean, what can you do?
Oh, I know. That's, I'm 100% there with you that definitely introduces a problem. What I would like to at least say about it, though, is that I'm grateful that at least we've got something now, like better late than never. And at least you can now repair some of these little bits on your controller instead of having to go spend $70.
Yeah. And the other thing I really kind of hope that the actual parts are affordable too. I mean, when you get down to bare bones and stuff, like if they offer the actual mounts for the mounts for the D-pad, the potentiometers, or you know, even the PCBs, I hope that the parts are priced to actually be, you know, legitimate almost to cost, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like to get like replacement buttons for your standard wireless controller, it will cost you $22. And that's the thumbsticks, the triggers, shoulder buttons, directional pad, face buttons, Xbox button, and then your capture button, and then your two like menu buttons. So you get all those for $22. And then, of course, like I was saying, you could get the PCB and the PCB with the motor assembly. And in reality, I mean, based on the cost for this stuff, obviously, it's like you want to build your own controller. You probably could. But at the same time, the cost here is going to be a little bit more to do so, because one thing that's missing from all this that I can see is that this is all missing the back shell. The only thing that it looks like they're selling is just the top case here. They aren't selling the back shell or the battery cover or anything.
And maybe that's a missed opportunity that Microsoft needs to look at for the future. There are so many people, including myself, that have started customizing keyboards. I'd like to build my own keyboard, like fully build at this point. A controller is just another thing that, you know, people like to customize to be able to have, you know, their own personal, button layout, so on and so forth. Why doesn't Microsoft sell just a controller kit? They could sell, you know, different motors, different button layouts, or I guess not necessarily layouts, but different raised points, so it could be convexed in the middle, fully domed. You know, they could do a lot with this now that they're offering parts. So why haven't they taken that leap?
Well, I think part of it is, I think part of it comes down to just the inventory to put out there. Like, there aren't, I can't imagine there's a large player base that wants to build their own controllers. I know there are for like keyboards and that, but it seems like where they tried to get at least close to that was with the Elite controller line, that they would allow you to change out those parts to offer that level of control and level of feel without having to get so deep as to offer each individual component. So that way you can make it yourself. There's probably is a market for it. I'm not saying there isn't, but I think the problem though is that Microsoft stocking all of those parts and keeping things together is going to be kind of a detriment to them, especially if the market only accounts for maybe like 2% of their player base. That you can own, that, you know, you can go build your own controller. That's great, but the level of work that it might require to do so is going to be too much. But even at the same time, it's like they are offering repair manuals, so it is easy enough to potentially start. I don't know, I guess, working through this, no problem. I don't know. I mean, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I mean, the Elite is, the Elite controller does it, you know, to a point. And now they've got these repair guides, so maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, and to be honest, it would have been nice to have those repair guides from Microsoft earlier on. I guess the last question I have at this point is, where do I get one of those mod mats? I need to get me one of them Microsoft mod mats.
Those do look pretty slick. Don't get me wrong. I think you can actually find them. Like, I think Gamers Nexus even sells one that's about like that. That has the little, like, it is a rubber mat, and then it has like the little trays built into it for your screws and other little parts that you need to keep separated and organized. I think they have one.
Yeah, it's just cool that, you know, that some of the images that we're seeing on the site that you had pulled up is that they're using a Microsoft Xbox mod mat and just deconstructing the controller on it. And I'm like, well, you know, that's all cool. And it got me thinking about that. You know, they could offer controller kits that, you know, for the enthusiast, but they should probably sell those mod mats too.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be cool if they did, but, you know, probably better for you just to go through Gamers Nexus. Support an independent business, a small business, instead of
definitely,
the man.
Definitely need to support Gamers Nexus. They're awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's carry on here to our last bit of news in the main stories list, and that has to do with Hasbro and the fact that apparently Activision may have lost all of the Transformers games that they were responsible for. So that would be games like Transformers War for Cybertron and Transformers Fall of Cybertron, Rise of the Dark Spark, Transformers Devastation. Apparently those were all made by Activision, and Hasbro's like, yeah, they're not there anymore. So this article here, at least talking about this, came out on the 30th, which was actually the last time we did the or was actually this previous Sunday here, the day after we did the last news. And apparently Hasbro, the Hasbro team had been talking with a website called Transformers World, saying, sadly, apparently Activision's not sure what hard drives they're on in the building. When a company eats a company that eats a company, things get lost, and that's very frustrating. And then they go on to say, hope is that now that the deal is moving forward with Microsoft and Xbox, they'll go through all of the archives and every hard drive to find it all, because it's an easy Game Pass ad. We want those games back up for people to have a chance to play. And I agree. I loved the Cybertron games there. I loved War for Cybertron. I loved Fall of Cybertron. And I'm not saying this just as a Transformers fan, as I stare at my shelf full of Transformers. But those were great games, even with their little hitches
definitely.
And such. You know, and it'd be great to play them again. It's just, if you want to try to find them anywhere, it's a real pain right now. There's just no easy way to get those titles. And what's funny about that, though, is that just because it's hard to find them doesn't necessarily mean they won't come back at some point, because it turns out that Activision has decided to go ahead and step back in. And apparently Hasbro had to basically retract the comments that were made. And they went on and said, to clarify, comments that suggest Transformers games have been lost were made in error. We apologize to Activision and regret any confusion. They've been great partners, and we look forward to future opportunities to work together. So basically, it's like the whoever it was they talked to, there was no name in the original article that indicated who they were talking to from Hasbro, but I'm sure someone got a nice telling off.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be shocking to find out that the source code or any of those other dependencies are lost in some sort of archive somewhere, and it will take a while to figure out where they are and how to recompile them, or at least start going through and remastering them or something, or remaking them. But I'm going to tell you right now, Activision, Hasbro, start working. Let's get these games back. I'm ready to play.
No
I'm ready to play some of this, because I was jonesing for War for Cybertron like late last year. I started looking everywhere for it, and the only things I could find were physical copies of the game. I don't have a disk drive on my computer, and I don't think many people do anymore anyway. So humor me, Hasbro, Activision, let's get these games back out again. Let's get these out there, because, I would really appreciate it if we could, I could play as Optimus Prime driving around here again.
Right? No doubt. Yeah. They were just excellent games. And I mean, if I remember right, they were similar to like a Gears of War game, correct?
They were made in the Unreal Engine, the exact same one that was used for Gears of War. They were over the shoulder, and they did share some of the same combat style as you would have seen in Gears, you know, obviously without like say the chains like a Lancer that would go through like the shoulder of a Locust or anything, but it definitely had some of that feel, except when you would transform and drive around in that, obviously that would be completely different. But yeah, the combat was relatively the same. I think even like when you got close to cover, you could hit a button and you would literally like slide halfway across the map to get to that cover. I think it was almost the same mechanic. So
yeah, and it was just a fantastic game. Well, both of them were. And actually, I remember the third game that I was thinking about that was the cartoony one was Transformers Devastation.
Yeah, that was it. Yep.
It wasn't as good, but I mean, it kind of filled that void for a little bit. But man, I really want War and Fall of Cybertron back. I want them on my computer. I want them on all my consoles. Hasbro, get it together.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd almost do, like just if I really wanted to push myself for it, is I would actually buy the original like Xbox 360 copies and then just play them on my... I assume my Series X would probably be able to play them, no problem. But
you know, if I could find a copy, I totally would. But that's not really an option right now. So, and I have a 360 that's fully functional. But... It's just not a feasible option. So Hasbro, come on, get it together, guys.
Yeah, I want my game back where I can play as Omega Supreme or Metroplex and go around stomping on Decepticons. That's all I want right now. But
heck yeah.
No, we have to wait because they're all lost, or according to Hasbro. No, they're not lost.
Lost, quote unquote.
Yeah, I'm just being salty about it because I really like these games. But... with that said, that is it for everything in the main news stories for this week. So now we move on to the last little bit of the news, and that is the quest markers. Kyle, you're up on this one, dude. What do we got in the quest markers this week?
So for our first quest marker this evening, or I guess this week, Vampire Survivors, one of my favorite games of, last year, two years ago?
Last year.
I don't know. I've spent so much time on that game. I swear, I've got a year on it already in game time. It may be getting a director's cut. A special edition basically called the director's cut has been supposedly leaked with screenshots. A journalist, I'm trying to see, Laura Kate Dale, had tweeted images, from some of the new characters, as well as the opening splash screen and some gameplay. No word yet on if the game will be a standalone or if it will be an expansion for the game. We do know, however, the full game will release on Nintendo Switch on August 17th, so be prepared to burn up those Joy-Cons on some Vampire Survivor.
Yeah.
And in our Next quest marker for this evening, PS5 beta adds Dolby Atmos support as well as 8 terabyte SSD support. A mere $1,000 upgrade.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. Of course, you know, the PlayStation 5 has already been able to utilize, I believe, up to a 4 terabyte SSD at this point. But now they have unlocked the potential to use an 8 terabyte SSD, which, of course, the cheapest one or least expensive one on the market that you can buy that is compatible with the system. That's the other caveat. Is $999.99.
You could buy two PS5s with that.
You could buy two PS5s for that, and you should at that point. Perhaps you might get more enjoyment out of it in two different rooms. But the other thing that you might get enjoyment out of is if you have access to Dolby Atmos with your surround sound. The PS5 now supports Dolby Atmos, so you can get the most out of those chest-thumping bass sounds. So, cool for PS5 owners, yeah. And in our last quest marker for this evening, fans of Half-Life Opposing Force are aiming to beat the current concurrent player count on Steam. Right now, publicized Valve content creator Radiant Hazard and NoClick are hosting an event called Opposing the Bar, in which they're trying to break 5,000 concurrent players on the game. Right now, unfortunately, the game, as of our publication or as of chatting this evening, I believe is at... you wrote the number somewhere. 105 concurrent players. So they've got quite a few players to gather, but if you want to join and you have already purchased the Half-Life or Valve, I guess, Half-Life pack, it had like all the games and it's always on sale every Steam sale for like $10. And gives you access to like pretty much all the basic Valve games, has Half-Life Opposing Force, and you should hop on if you haven't played it. It's a great game. So that is actually it for the quest markers this week.
And with that being it for the quest markers, that is it for the weekly news roundup for the week of August 4th, 2023. With that, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to this week's news roundup. Of course, if you like what you're listening to, and guess what? You're still here listening to us, so you must like us in some capacity. Why not subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform of choice? We're on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, you name it, we're probably on it. But if you're not sure if your favorite platform is supported, go check us out on our homepage at anchor.fm/the-mpcs-podcast and look at all the platforms we are listed on there. With that, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We will catch you all next week.
Laters.